This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Also on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, it's a shout-out Friday from the 321. Shout-out Friday. Shout-out to Kevin for breaking MJF with that sandwich joke.
Dude, that sandwich joke was great yesterday.
That was a proud
moment. Was the one moment, Alec, where you saw him break character completely, and he wanted to give credit.
Yeah.
He really did.
I've never heard MJF break character until that moment. I'm so serious. I've never heard him laugh at somebody else's joke like that or anything. That was so good.
From Cowboy Guy on YouTube, Kevin landed one. Congrats. From John, that was great, Kevin. And from Kid Cowboy, I think he's talking about me. He needs a beer.
From the 817, Corey, you'll like this.
You know what? I'm about to go get a beer. There's one in the fridge. I'm going to go get a beer right now.
From the 817, Corey, I got the joke at the exact same time that Corey did. Now I'm rolling on the floor.
He's so proud of himself, too.
I always lose. We talked about it. The scoreboard now might be 16 million to 3.
It's been a fun day.
All right, so let me have this one. All right, I want to go back to the Rangers in just one second and talk about the greatest unknown for the Rangers of this season. Because I think you can make a really strong argument. You saw it play out yesterday. But also wanted to throw this out there. Did you see that MLB released their automatic balls and strikes system report?
Yes, okay. I did. It looked like they felt like it was pretty good.
And I think they're right, because 288 games with ABS in spring training, 4.1 challenges per game. The overturn percentage was 52.2%. And so, like, if you just even want to round it down, the calls were wrong about half of the time.
That seems bad.
It does, doesn't it? Because you were hoping it would be like, I don't know, like 15%.
Yeah, but it's spring training too, so those guys are in their spring training form.
Okay. All right. You know what? I will give them leeway for that. But then I think this was the biggest deal. Seconds added per challenge, 13.8.
Yeah.
So if there's, and we'll just round up and round, if there's four challenges per game on average at an average of 14 seconds per, that's 56 seconds. All right. So not even a minute that you're adding to the game. And I know this is part of a process, but it kind of feels like a pretty big step towards this being part of Major League Baseball, does it not?
Yeah, it does. If they scaled back the amount of time things take already, and even shaved off more time, right? After they said, hey, we're going to do it a little bit more. And if you were listening this morning, Mike Adams, our friend, hopped on with the morning show. I need to apologize to Mike Adams, by the way.
Yeah, we're supposed to have him on.
Yeah, that's on me, dude. I got way too busy yesterday. But I love that guy. But he hopped on and he was saying, you know, they're watching the game. And one of the guys he was sitting with said, hey, man, this is going by pretty fast. And he said, yeah. And they said, how long did games take when you were playing? He was like 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
And so they've already shaved that back. And now they're like, we can add less than a minute to the game by getting calls correct.
Yeah.
And now we don't have to have one of those. Now, I don't know if this is good or bad. Those moments where batters are flustered and they're arguing with you and now they're taken out of the game mentally, or where coaches, managers get ejected because balls and strikes aren't being called correctly. So I'm hoping that that's the case, but that is an entertaining thing, is managers arguing with umpires.
Sure.
And it is entertaining to see, you know, when your pitcher's getting the calls and he's throwing a Greg Maddux pitch where you're like, that was right there on the black. He was painting corners, and now maybe that won't be the case.
Now, over to the Rangers, and this is, look, we had to move a lot of stuff yesterday because guests were rolling in. We were having a blast.
Awesome.
Hopefully you guys were enjoying all the content that we were bringing to you yesterday. But the great unknown for the Rangers ahead of opening day, I get it why people would say the bullpen. Like, I absolutely understand that 100%, and it took one game to find out that that might well be the case, or it could be an anomaly. Like, you could be looking back at this in a month and a half and be like, man, this bullpen is badass. I can't believe what happened on opening day. But here's what I decided to go with instead, and I want to see if y'all have like a specific great unknown. I'm going to go with a group of Josh Young, Corey Seager, Jacob DeGrom, and Nathan Eovaldi. My great unknown is, can three of these four players stay healthy?
Oh, wow.
Because you have seen injury problems, obviously, for all of them, and for probably at least two of them, major injury problems. And so my great unknown is, can you keep three of these four specifically? That's not to say they're the best four players, because obviously, you know, Langford's going to be in the mix, Simeon's going to be in the mix, but these are the guys that kind of have like that injury history with them. And so can three of these four stay healthy?
I got three: DeGrom, Young, Seager. Who was the other one?
Eovaldi.
I think Eovaldi can, but I think Eovaldi's going to have, I say this all the time, a spot in late July where they maybe skip him a couple times just because he pitches so much through the season. He wants to pitch 9 innings. Like, that's it. His goal is to go out there and just eat it all up the entire day. He loves that part of it.
Yeah.
And hell, yesterday he's like, hey, by the way, watch my curveball be an out pitch on this. That was awesome. And seeing that he threw that into the mix, I think he's going to be mostly healthy. So that's one. I think Josh Young, it's very weird that most of his injuries have been just freak, like the season-long injuries.
I get it.
The calf last year was a bit of a concern because we understand you have to trade them if they have a calf injury. That's just the way it is, Nico.
You don't have to do that.
Doesn't Josh Young look as lean as we've ever seen him yesterday, Alec?
Yeah, he looks good, man. He looks comfortable, too. Like, yeah. Not just physically. He does look great physically, but it looks like he's kind of back in his rhythm. He's back in his flow. It looks like he's used to playing baseball on a consistent basis again, which makes me really happy.
So I think you can keep those two. Kevin, I have zero clue about Seager and DeGrom, though. Like, DeGrom,
it's fair. How can you?
Sunday could be it.
Yeah.
Sunday could also be the start of, you know, three straight no-hitters. Like, that's what he is.
Right.
Is the ability to be, Derek said it yesterday, we've been saying it all along, anytime he steps onto the mound, you have a chance to see something special happen, and maybe it's 4 innings, maybe it's 9.
Right.
You know, we don't know, but I feel comfortable with two of them as long as Josh Young doesn't get the accidental chaos thing happen, but Seager and DeGrom, I have zero clue.
And that's the thing, like, you can say, and Corey, if you defiantly said, I know what's going to happen, I'd be like, that's great. I'm glad that you think that. But you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Seager doesn't know. DeGrom doesn't know. You don't. Alec might know. But none of the rest of us, they know. Alec, what's your great unknown for this Rangers team?
We touched on it a little bit, so I had two. The first one was about Nate Eovaldi. Was it just going to be his dominant year. Is he going to be this good all season? But I think in that same kind of conversation, is Jake Burger going to be like the feature of this offense now? And really of the position players? Because like Corey talked about, he flashed the glove a little bit yesterday at first base. But like, I was thinking of, okay, he's going to swing at a lot of fastballs and he's going to do damage to them more times than not. And it's probably going to result in home runs or outs. Then he draws what, like a bazillion pitch walk against one of the best pitchers on the face of planet Earth. And I'm like, huh, is Jake Burger going to be the spark plug that this offense was missing last year? I surely thought it when they made the move for him. But even after just one game, I'm like, he's a lot better than people realize. It's just he was in a bad market on a bad team last year, so we didn't really talk about him. He's really exciting to me. So that's my unknown, is he going to be offensively and maybe even defensively that piece that you never knew that you were missing?
I hope so, right? Because we're already counting on...
We were hoping he would just compliment this thing, right?
Yes.
The compliment Seager. Like, that was the hope.
And I think it's a hybrid, but you can be both, right? Like, you can compliment Seager, which hopefully means he's having an amazing season,
right?
Or Marcus Semien's having a bounce back, or Wyatt Langford is stretching September out into all of our hopes and dreams, where you're just like, we would all love a world where Jake Burger is the fourth complimentary piece on this team, but man, does he get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but that's the problem, is if you chunk this lineup out, I'm looking at concerning parts across the way, whether you think Adolis is going to be a problem leading into eventually getting to Jake Burger, whether it's the top of the lineup. But I think you could be.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right about that. And still, like, he could be complimentary great. I don't know if that's an actual thing, but you get what I'm saying.
I'll take it, yeah.
One of the things, Alec, I would love for them to do is, like, because there are so many interesting personalities in this clubhouse, Semien not being one. Listen, I love Marcus Semien, but he knows what he's doing. Like, he's like, I got to go in and focus every day, and I want to set a good example. Off the field, when you kind of get a chance to talk to him, he's actually pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
But he's focused. He's PC.
Hey, Marcus, you won't believe what Kevin just asked of this soccer player.
Look at how funny Michael Young is now. You know, like, Michael Young was very serious whenever he was. But yesterday, he was hilarious. And so, like, these guys, they do have it. But I hope that that Burger's personality, that the team takes part of it on. You know, that World Series year, they were a bunch of even keel guys. But they, whenever it was time to be part Adolis, they were. Yeah. Whenever it was time to be part Austin Hedges, they were. Like, they, all those guys had that personality. And then you see Josh Jung talking about, I truly believe that if you're going to develop and create an unselfish culture, you have to be unselfish. Which is why he gave all his teammates that stuff yesterday.
Which I did think was really cool.
It's an unselfish thing. And that those guys, Boach has said this many times. He's told us many times, give me a group of guys that all work together. That are all fighting together on something, all those personalities will pop up. So I see what Alex's saying. And if for a portion of the season, he needs to be the one carrying it, I think he can. And I think that's going to be a good thing for this group as they go along.
Now, this is not exactly a shout out, but as long as we're talking about the Rangers from the 6A2, I'll tell you who looked damn good and comfortable anywhere on the field is Josh Smith. And we talked about this obviously a lot last year. Josh Smith feels like a treasure, and he feels like the piece that you don't know you need until you see every winning team has their Josh Smith. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, well, we couldn't have done it without him.
Yesterday, I believe it was Mike that was talking about, was it Rafaela? He was like, he's never going to be an all-star, but every team needs a guy like this.
Yes.
And I think that's the Josh Smith part of it. And dude, I know we're kind of looking to the future with Wilcott, I don't know what I was thinking. Walcott.
It is Walcott.
Solomon Wilcott's is that.
Yes. Sebastian Walcott.
We're looking forward to the future with him. That's not here yet. And Seager has not decided to be the first baseman or the DH of his life. So for the time being, Josh Smith's a perfect fill-in part of it. what would the decision be later down the road if it's between those two guys? And they're looking at it going, man, this one has all the size. He's got all the flash. Josh Smith, though, just keeps doing these things that make you go, I got to get him on the field.
And I actually think that's your answer right there, is that Walcott will be the guy. But Bruce Bochy has told us this before. Josh Smith will find a way to force you to keep his bat in the lineup. And I don't know where that's going to be. But then again, maybe they don't either. And they're like, well, today it's going to be here. Today it's going to be here.
Who's pitching today, Kevin?
For the Texas Rangers?
For the Texas Rangers.
Are we going Jack Leiter?
It is a Jack Leiter. It is a Jack Leiter day, Kevin. Are we going to get a no-hitter today? Or are we just going to get, you hoping for six innings like yesterday from Nate? If you got that, would you be like, this is the most special thing ever?
If Jack Leiter, look, I hope this makes sense. If Jack Leiter has the exact same outing that Nathan Eovaldi is, I will be so much more excited than I was yesterday. Because I've seen.
Then I can't. I'm going to be so amped for Rocker start.
Yes. And then DeGrom. But like, you've seen Evo do this.
Yep,
and you're
you
like,
know
oh, hey, big shock.
It's expected.
In the biggest possible situation you can imagine, he is freaking nails. And I wanted to go back to that because yesterday, 22 curveballs out of his 87 pitches. So almost exactly 25%. But think about this. Of those 22 curveballs he threw, he got 10 swings and misses.
Yeah, most of them were Devers. Devers, he had no. He was so happy to, that Eovaldi was out of that game yesterday.
That is a very fair point. But if you can get 10 swings and misses, or almost like even 45% swings and misses on a specific pitch, that is incredible. And then he ended his day with 9 strikeouts and no walks. It's only the 12th time in the last 50 years that any pitcher has struck out at least 9 without giving up a walk on opening day. And for the Rangers specifically, it ties him with Lance Lynn in 2020, Matt Harrison in 2013, Colby Lewis in 2012, and Nolan Ryan in 1991 for the most strikeouts on Rangers opening day.
I accept, Nate. I appreciate it, man.
I agree.
Awesome.
I'm with you on all of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Jackson Churio, Sportsbooks, and the crocodile-infested Olympic waters. Do any of these entities deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Base hit could tie it. 3-2 pitch from Devin Williams on its way. And he struck him out. 2 out. And 5 strikeouts in the ballgame for Jackson Churio.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's Tom for Forgiveness Friday, 877-881-1053. Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Does somebody need to ask you for forgiveness? Or are you Jackson Churio, who had the platinum sombrero? Now, obviously, you're probably more familiar with the shameful golden sombrero that you get after 4 strikeouts. But Jackson Churio had 5 strikeouts on opening day, which leads him to the platinum sombrero. A couple things about that. He had never struck out more than 3 times in a game. And also, there is disputed research about this. So maybe one of them happened like in the 1890s or something. Jackson Churio is either the 2nd or the 3rd player in the history of baseball to strike out 5 times on opening day.
So either the 2nd or the 3rd.
Yes.
And who are the other ones?
Lefty Magoo back in the 1890s, maybe. And then the other one just happened a few years ago.
Wow.
I can't remember offhand who that was.
So, but he just got paid, right?
Yeah, I still think he's going to be really good.
He got paid a lot to strike out on opening day a lot.
He did.
That's impressive, dude.
Did you know it was the platinum sombrero?
I never heard of it. Dude, when I heard of the golden sombrero, I was a little, I kind of got, I didn't know that was a thing at first until I heard about it.
Did you think it was something different?
Kind
of. Oh, my
it's
God.
Protecting you from something.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I was thinking in my head, I was like, what is that? And it's the platinum
just
sombrero.
A little bit better, a little bit more. You know,
congratulations.
That's a tough day, dude.
It is.
Going and you're thinking is just like, holy crap, how bad at baseball am I?
Sure.
And then you get a chance again to get back out the next day and do it again and get your opportunity to hit a home run and change the way everybody thinks about you.
Now, I'm going to stick with baseball because this is complicated. Not exactly sure who deserves the blame and needs to ask for forgiveness on here. Here's part one. And this is the less offensive to the White Sox part. The Chicago White Sox are they were set to start the season with an over-under win total of 53.5.
Okay.
That is the lowest win total set by sports books in more than 35 years, according to ESPN research. So that's pretty bad, right?
From what I know, yeah.
However, is this more embarrassing? This is wild. So if you follow Poly Market, we've talked about Poly Market, and there's another really good one that will give you like a great idea of kind of like the next level gambling and everything like that. The championship odds this season for the Chicago White Sox, less than 1%. The odds of Jesus Christ coming back to the earth, 3% per Poly Market. So
what?
Poly Market.
You can bet on that?
Yes, you can. Now, how you're going to collect that? Look, that's a whole different thing. I don't know. And I'd be like, oh, I can't pay off your bet. I got raptured. But like, you probably wouldn't be able to say that to the anyways.
My point
is, so Poly Market thinks it's 3, if not 4 to 5 times more likely that Jesus will be back this year than the Chicago White Sox win the World Series. Do they need forgiveness for that? For putting that stat out into the world? Do the White Sox need forgiveness for being so terrible that this would actually come up? Where are we going with this, fellas?
I mean, they did win yesterday, though.
Which means, what are they, like 39 wins away from
last year? So is it that the White Sox are that good or the Angels are that bad?
And I actually think the Angels might be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't score their one run until the ninth inning. It was the top of the ninth inning, and they were like, time for a comeback.
To be fair, we scored 2 runs yesterday.
Well, hey, we scored our first run earlier than the ninth inning, though. We just couldn't score in the ninth. That was the problem.
In your face, Angels.
I love the stat, actually.
Hold on. Who did you say they lost to?
Angels? Oh, my God.
The Chicago White Sox lost... defeated the Angels. But in Poly Market, Jesus Christ is the favorite to defeat the White Sox.
I think Alec just said Jesus Christ.
said something not FCC friendly.
Hey, this is a true fact. With the win yesterday, the White Sox are now 40 wins away from matching last year's total. Don't forget that. Last year, they went 41 and 120.
They're so bad.
Hey.
Corey, you look perplexed.
What is going on?
The Memphis Grizzlies just let go of their head coach. They're the 5 seed right now, and they just said, see you later. They've announced they parted ways with Taylor Jenkins.
Man, that's odd timing.
That just seems weird. Like, didn't this happen last year with the Bucks? They were like, hey, we're moving on from Adrian Griffin and we're moving forward with Doc Rivers. Or was that 2 years ago? Something like that. It just seems weird that you're the 5th seed and then you just say, see you later. I'm sorry, that was a little shocking.
And there's 9 games left in the regular season. That is.
You're going to the playoffs with a whole new head coach? That doesn't make any sense to me. But then again,
that is
the NBA
super confusing.
Has not made much sense to me at all this year. So maybe they're trying to top the Mavericks. Maybe they're like, you know what? We'll show you right before the playoffs. We'll fire our head coach. That's weird, dude.
Man, that is, yeah, it's everywhere. That is.
Yeah, they're 44 and 29.
That is mind-boggling.
Interesting.
I wonder if that's something behind the scenes issues that they've had with some of the
players.
We've
seen stuff like that happen before. Things behind the scenes.
Sure.
Pay off that way.
Okay, wow. So maybe the Grizzlies need to ask for forgiveness?
Maybe they do. Maybe they do.
I'm not totally sure. Now, I take you to MLB TV. Now, multiple people texted this in already, but MLB TV crashed on opening day.
Oh.
And that became a trending topic on social media, obviously, for not the right reasons. I'm not saying that people are just going to be like, oh, I'm not going to watch baseball anymore. But like, of all the days, this felt like the day that Twitter went down for the start of NFL free agency.
It felt like the Jake Paul fight.
Yes.
Where everybody was trying to watch Mike Tyson and not see his butt again. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, we can't even get this thing to float. So that's bad.
So the app has had a history of problems, but on opening day, that is going to lead to some agitated customers, I imagine.
Yeah. Whoops. How much of that has to do, you think, with, was it yesterday? T-Mobile, you said, was given away? So they were like not prepared for all the T-Mobile users.
Maybe T-Mobile had historic pickup on that offer, and they're like, we were not ready for all of this.
Our apologies.
877-881-1053. I don't know this to be the case from the 915. Nico consulted the Grizzlies on that move. I don't know.
Likely.
That to be the case.
It's likely, though.
So maybe, maybe not.
It's weird.
All right. Do you think that the Olympics need to preemptively ask for forgiveness again? Or is this a very easily correctable problem? Corey, what year is it?
This year is 2025, now, the year of our Lord.
That's right. Oh, very religious segment. The 2032 Olympic rowing venue. There is some concern that in Brisbane, Australia, that there are crocodiles in the Olympic rowing venue.
Crikey.
Fair enough. That's 7 years away.
Mm-hmm. You can get the crocodiles out of there by then.
You could.
Yeah,
or
drain it.
You could. Oh, man.
Then refill it with good water.
It feels like you could just do it somewhere else.
Like a swimming pool?
No, I don't know. Like, surely they have another body of water that doesn't have crocodiles.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Or Brisbane?
I don't know. I've never been to Australia. I mean, it is in Australia.
Yeah. All I know about Australia is kangaroos are on land, alligators and crocs are in the water.
Damn alligator bit my hand.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You don't want Chubbs to lose his hand in the Olympics? So that's one of my favorite lines, Alec. I'm so happy you played that. I love that line so much.
That turn, because Adam Sandler is trying to be sympathetic to him. He's like, oh, because you were black? He was trying to be like sympathetic because of racism. And he goes, no. And that was a stunning turn of events. All right.
Thank you, Carl Weathers, for giving us that beautiful line.
Man, he's the best.
You rest with
he's
Jesus.
Awesome in that. Apollo Creed as himself, the cheapest human being that's ever been in Arrested Development. Amazing. But some have suggested that this could be the most watched rowing Olympic event of all time. If you just let it ride.
It's just out of nowhere. Bam! Get hit by a croc.
All right, Alec. This is serious.
Think you're a hunk of chicken.
Olympic-based question. You are the overwhelming favorite going into the 2032 rowing Olympics. Now, I know there's multiple rowing events. Let's say you're favored by like a minus 2,000 to win two gold medals. But they have not completely solved the crocodile problem yet. Are you still participating in these Olympic Games?
Yeah, because I think that surgery and emergency surgery especially is only temporary. Gold medals are forever. So
you're assuming that you'll survive this crocodile encounter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll just get the wooden, you know, limbs, because I'm assuming if there's multiple, I'm probably losing multiple limbs. So, yeah, I'll just get the wooden replacements. I'll get the prosthetics and whatever endorsement money I get from that gold medal. Sure, it's going to pay for everything.
From the 910, I like this idea. Or you could make mega crocs and make it really interesting. The athletes can't take steroids or HGH, but nobody's saying that we can't juice up these crocs and really get this thing going.
Look, I have learned enough from movies to tell me that we should not be doing two things.
Reading.
Genetically enhancing creatures or beings that are already living in this place and giving the robots too much freedom to think and become their own. It feels like that's inevitably our downfall.
I always go also with reading out loud things that I don't know. Like if I'm in Egypt and I see some stuff right there, don't
that's
read it out
point.
Loud unless you read it to yourself. Here's the rule that me and my buddy have always said. I read it to myself. You read it to yourself, and then we decide that it's not going to harm humanity, and then we can read it out loud.
That's a great point. Can I add on to that? Addendum. If you find a book that looks unlike any book you've ever seen before, don't read the cover.
Turn it over to authorities.
Yeah, or open it up. And that's the same with Corey, to his point. If you needed a torch to get to where you're going and you're reading things off the wall via that torch, that needs to be an internal thought.
Whatever's behind that wall right now probably is behind that wall for a reason.
Yeah. And you do not have the capability of fighting it off. You're no Brendan Fraser.
But the Tolos are better. They know. They know that.
Okay.
They would never put us in harm's way.
Good. Good, 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 good,
except
good.
For whenever we had the wheel. They were definitely wanting us in harm's way.
I thought we were going to bring that back. From the 214, I'm a pickleball pro, but I entered an amateur tournament in another state using an alias just for the prize money. Please forgive me.
It used to happen a lot with our cornhole tournament where would show up out of like Florida. They'd private jet into this place.
They were coming in like the team from dodgeball. And they all had their hands on each other's shoulders in matching suits. And you're like, oh, those guys didn't just show up for no reason. Man, that means this player must be really good because they're like, I had to change my name because my name would show up on that list and be like, hold on. I know who you are. I was going to make up a name and then I almost said Ross Fenstermaker, but then I was like, well, that is an actual
real person.
Executive.
Yeah. He runs the Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. So that's not going to work. And so, I mean, you must be really good at pickleball and it sounds like you won.
Mm.
I'm going to assume
from the 817. So we shouldn't roll dice on this board game.
All right. Again, this is the same logic as the book. If it's a regular looking board game that you've seen before, and I get it, Jumanji is going to throw that whole thing for a loop. But if it looks different than any board game box you've ever seen before, stay away from it. Don't roll those dice, all right? You are going to be eaten by one of those toy hippos.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
For the KNC masterpiece.
All right.
Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the strongest and weakest position groups in this NFL draft. Next on The Fan.
And this offensive line knows what to do. Howard, now they get to him. Abdul Carter.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
That's a dip right there.
That's a Friday dip for you.
The 817, shout out to my wife, Trish. She just got a nice promotion. I am one step closer to retirement, Miguel.
I
love it for you, Miguel.
Smart man. I like it. That is very smart. All right, I wanted to go through the strongest and weakest position groups in the NFL draft. But first, Corey, you've been asking me about this for weeks. You've
every
been
day,
hounding
pretty much.
Me about it. Yes. There will be kind of a sequel to the Chiefs Hallmark Christmas movie. However, this time it was announced by DeMar Hamlin.
Which one?
It was.
There's
called,
two.
There is?
Well, one was kind of about an idea of Travis and Taylor, and one was like really.
This was the one that was like Chiefs, Christmas love story.
It was silly, but it was fun.
This one will be called, really branching out, Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story.
A Bills love story.
Were the Buffalo Bills the next logical choice? Like, I get why they picked the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift. Are the Bills going to move the needle like that? Or does it matter because it's about Christmas and romance?
Isn't it important who the leads are?
It's true.
And the leads are Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld.
No, they're not.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's who this should be about, right?
Okay. Because if you told me they were going to star in the movie, I was like, well, then I'm definitely going to watch it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I get that. That's fair.
So that's interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
You said Holiday Touchdown?
Holiday Touchdown.
That was the name of the last one.
Oh, there you go.
Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Okay.
And then Christmas in the Spotlight was the other one.
So here's going to be the formula.
Paid $2 for that because my wife made me.
The Chiefs one got huge ratings.
No, the Chiefs one actually was cheesy. It was light. It was Hallmark. You know, it was a Christmas movie.
And so if this one does big ratings, you can bet this will, Alec, whether you like it or not.
How would the Cowboys version go?
They end up not getting together. Like in the Cowboys love story, this would be the one Hallmark movie where
they're living in the past,
where the big city lady doesn't go back to her hometown for the strapping country fella, and they don't get it together. Hold on,
the big city lady goes back to Arkansas, right? Yeah. And then revisits, and then all of a sudden finds out that the guy back in Arkansas is really a member of a super rich billionaire family that owns a football team,
and she never gets a ring.
Dang it, jeez, we just, you know what.
That's fair.
Until they win, you know, they deserve it. And so do we, probably, as fans. That is fair.
All right, let's talk about Abdul Carter. He is not going to work out at the Penn State Pro Day. He is still rehabbing from his shoulder injury. But once again, this feels so problematic that to take him in the top 11 feels foolish and like a waste of your draft pick. You should just let Abdul Carter slide down the board to 12. Uh-huh. You can't trust him with that shoulder.
Yeah.
And let some other team deal with it.
And I've seen him in the color red and green. He only looks good in blue. So, and silver.
Like, it's a sexy pick.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's he wouldn't even look good in your uniform, most teams. So just stick to that. Who are the teams that wear blue in front of the Cowboys this year in the draft? We don't even know.
Just the Cowboys.
Yeah. So let's just go with that one.
Actually, I'm sure that's not accurate. I'm not going to take the time to even think
about it. Somebody tweeted us and did say the Bills love story is a movie about a guy who almost falls in love a bunch, but never gets married.
Oh, that's sad.
Because the Bills.
By the way, Abdul Carter is meeting with the Giants today, if you wanted to know that. However, the other reason why I wanted to talk about Abdul Carter is edge defender is the number one strongest position in this draft per NFL.com and probably brought us in Woolchuck. Second on the list, running back. Now, Corey, you didn't sound surprised at all that edge is number one.
Because
I've
been listening to Broadus and Woolchuck. Like, that's the smart thing to do if you're trying to be prepared for this draft this year. And I mean, Woolchuck's really, really bullish, and we'll have him today coming up here at 12:40, I do believe.
Maybe one.
He's pretty bullish on the cornerbacks in this draft, too. He's okay with a second-round cornerback. So, like, there are some areas that he thinks have some really good quality players.
So, cornerback is seventh on the NFL.com list, along with interior offensive line. Quarterback is next to last, followed by safety.
This is a bad quarterback draft.
It is feeling like
that. And I know
that.
Cam has said, I just established myself as the number one. That's fine, but everybody is looking at it like, can anybody else please take it? Like, that's kind of where they all stand on it. And I know I've heard multiple times the Quinn Ewers would be a fine pick late round for the Cowboys. Like, we'd be perfectly okay with that.
Late round? Day three for sure.
I want to know where Jackson Dart really is right now, because that would be my preference in that world.
Would Cam Ward be the fourth quarterback in last year's draft?
Probably so. Yeah. Probably because that gives a lot of credence to how good last year's draft was, though.
Caleb
Williams didn't have a great year this year or last year. This year he'll probably have a better year. But Jaden Daniels pop. We all kind of knew that this was a special class.
Now, running back is second on this list, which is good because that's another position where the Cowboys have a need. But I want to take you to Ashton Jeanty, which I love this sense of confidence. What is the North Star that you're chasing in football? Fox Sports asked. Jeanty said, to be the best that's ever played the game. For me, that's what I've always wanted out of sports, to be the best wherever I am at. And he goes, I feel like there's no reason to play the game if you don't want to be the best, if you don't want to compete. But I think if there's a lot of things that come with that, being in the community, all of that, making others around you better. But I don't just play for them. I play to be the best.
Look, if he's there, scoop him up. I'm perfect. That is the way he talks, very Emmitt Smith. Whenever I think of Emmitt Smith and like the, hey, here are my goals, and I'm going to go be all of these things. And he achieved them. So, like, that's what I feel whenever I hear him talk. And, again, if he's there, I'm perfectly comfortable taking a player like that. And I hope the Cowboys aren't telling themselves, like they did with Derrick Henry, our offense isn't built for that. We're not built to even – he wouldn't even have a good season if we had him behind this offense. You know, I hope the Cowboys are looking at it going, oh, he can make some special things happen.
I'm going to go from that to let's stick.
Sorry, the top text just kind of.
With the Cowboys.
Hey, your wife, Christina, congratulations.
Good for her. Now, also congratulations to Mike Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys. Didn't get a chance to mention this. Yesterday, they held a bowling event and raised $167,000, pins for a purpose. And the money goes to help out young people and Gold Star families. A Gold Star family is an immediate family member of a fallen service member who died while serving in a time of conflict. So feels like hopefully a cause that we can all get behind, and good for Micah for making that happen and raising a ton of money in the process. And for the people that were asking, yes, according to the full rules that the NFL sent out this week, the nose wipe celebration that CeeDee Lamb does is qualified as, quote, a violent gesture and would be a 15-yard penalty for people that have been asked.
I know, like I had said one day, I was like, I feel like it's some sort of murder, gang-related something. And I got a lot of texts that were like, no, it's this. And I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know. And then now that's what the NFL thinks. So they said can't do it anymore.
Thanks a lot, Corey. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.
Nobody's as upset about that as they are about the way you screw the Rangers. All right. So don't try this.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I'm really upset about right now is that somebody texted in that said big city. I need to look up the slang for that. And that was a mistake.
Oh.
Because I did.
On Google?
It was a mistake. I'm telling you, don't do it.
Big City Greens is a great cartoon.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll talk Stars and Flames, but also this time we will throw in some NFL overreaction or reality next right here on The Fan.